Welcome to the Answers for Elders radio show. Meet the trusted experts who will give you straight answers and will help guide you on the path of later life care. Now, here's your host, founder, caregiver, and CEO, Suzanne Newman.
And welcome back, everyone, to Answers for Elders Radio Network. And we are here again talking about the legal basics, things that you need to know, things you need to have in place. I don't care if you're 21, 41, or 61, or 81, you need to have that those documents in place. So we are talking again to Andrea Lee. She is an estate planning and elder law attorney from Legacy Estate Planning in Bellevue, Washington. And Andrea, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. So happy to be here.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about the healthcare side of the power of attorney. Can it be the same person? And what is the healthcare power of attorney as opposed to the financial?
Yeah. So I spent a few minutes at our previous podcast just talking about the importance of the financial power of attorney. And I did mention the healthcare power of attorney as well. But I think the healthcare power of attorney is a document that's often overlooked by families.
Yeah.
Healthcare power of attorney really says, hey, if you are unable to make your own medical decisions, who can make those decisions for you?
Sure.
The reality is, I don't think people comprehend the complexity of caring for somebody who's not able to make their own medical decisions.
Amen to that one.
There is so much that goes into making someone's medical decisions. When I've had family members in the hospital, I've been awoken at 1 a.m. to authorize a blood transfusion. Or I've been hit with a question of, hey, there are different treatment options. We don't know, you know, you need to decide which one is going to be best. And those are very difficult decisions for family members to make. But what that healthcare power of attorney does is, number one, it gives them the legal ability to actually make those decisions. For many people, that is especially essential because you might have more than one child. You might have, you know, a new spouse and a children from a previous marriage. And then the question comes down to, if an individual is hospitalized or incapacitated, who do they want to be making those decisions on their behalf?
Right.
If someone doesn't sign that healthcare power of attorney, you're really just opening the door for conflict in your family, because you're not designating which of your five wonderful children you want to make those decisions. And that's just going to create chaos amongst those children.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I personally was placed as healthcare power of attorney for my mother. And at the end of her life, they came to me and they said, we can keep her alive for about another 10 days to 2 weeks by keeping her on a very high oxygen level, right? But she won't be able to eat. She won't be able to do a lot of things that would be normal. She'll just be bedridden. So the question is, here's your choice. We can sustain her life like this. She will eventually die because it's way too much oxygen going into her system and she can't sustain it. Or you can begin comfort care and she'll go quietly. That was a huge decision that I never thought I would have to make. And yet I made it. I made the decision to initiate comfort care. And I remember that just distinctly to the day. And there's still a part of me. I will admit, Aunt Andrea, that I feel like there's this piece of me that I hope I made the right choice. But then there's this knowingness that, you know what? Mom trusted me and my judgment. And she made me that healthcare directive. And this is before I started Answers for Elders, really. And it was just in the very beginning stage. So I know deeply what that decision is like. But on the other side, it's the good thing that when you talked about this, my mother entrusted me as that person, you know? And I think that's the key to know when you have that document, that your judgment is right on. I mean, they trust you in your judgment. I mean, that's an important thing about having healthcare directive. Don't you believe so?
Oh, absolutely. Once again, one of the most important decisions people will make is Who are the people they're going to name as their agents?
Yeah.
Who is the person who will manage your finances? Who is the person who will make those medical decisions? Now, well drafted healthcare powers of attorneys don't give that much direction. They
Right.
give a lot of powers. And that's because as an attorney who's been practicing in this area of the law for as long as I have, you learn that, you know, there are just too many possible scenarios that cannot be addressed
Very true.
within a power of attorney document.
Very true.
You can't anticipate what someone's illness might look like or what the end of their life might look like. So it's important that the document be properly drafted and then it give the agent all the powers to make those decisions.
Very much so.
And then important to choose who is going to make that decision, because it is a sign to them that you have faith in them, you have trust in their decision-making abilities, and that they are the individual you want charged with those that hard situation. So important in families that have multiple potential decision makers to choose the person to make that. Because again, I tell my clients frequently, you know what, you can have two children who love you, who have your best interest at heart, who want to do everything to help you and support you, but they can still disagree.
Yep.
And it's possible that neither one of them are wrong. They could both be right, but it's just a matter of opinion. So it's so important to choose that one person that you think best supports your personal views.
Yeah. And then from the recipient, I'm going to pick up what you say is that it's important to have those conversations if you become that healthcare directive, to go to your loved one and say, Mom, I'm honored that you chose me. Now, let's talk about this so that I'm aware that I become your advocate through all of this. And that's, I think, the important piece of all of everything, that everybody's on the same page. You know, that's an important part too.
Oh, absolutely. You want to choose a person who you can communicate with. You know, like you said earlier, I think as a society, we don't value the wisdom and aging. You know, we value youth and we don't like to talk about aging.
Yeah.
We don't like to talk about getting older. We don't necessarily like to address our own mortality.
Right.
But, you know, really an important part of aging well is having those conversations.
Yeah. And it's also having those conversations with yourself. I know that, you know, my husband and I have had those conversations. Well, he's Jewish. So he comes from the fact of, you know, you don't donate organs, right? In his belief.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, why wouldn't you do that? But you have to respect where they come from on that. That the piece is that there's different levels of, you know, decision making from people that have that. So, you know, if it comes to the fact that I have to be, I mean, I am his and he's mine and that's on paper. But the whole point is, if it came down to that thing, it's honoring what his wishes would be. It's being that person's advocate. And that's, I think, the part where families need to have those conversations.
Having the conversation is the number one choice that I would have for my clients. It's sit down with your children or your whomever you choose as your agents and talk about your values and talk about what you want your aging to look like. Talk about what you hope, because it's hopes. You know, you can't always have it exactly the way you want, but you should talk about what you hope it would look like and what you're anticipating their involvement would be.
Sure.
Sometimes I do recommend my clients kind of write a letter to their agents if they have very specific wishes or beliefs.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And I say, don't get it notarized. We don't want it to be formal. We don't want it to be anything binding, but we just want it to be a letter. I had a client a number of years ago, and she had actually been a caretaker for her mom. And even though she loved her mom and was happy she was able to be her mom's caretaker, she made the very conscientious decision that she did not want her children to be her caretaker. And so she wrote them a very nice letter that said, hey, if the time comes when I'm not able to make these decisions on your own, please don't feel guilty if you choose to put me in an adult family home. I don't want you to carry that burden in your heart that I expected you to care for me.
That is so huge. That is so huge, Andrea. How many people do I know that are feeling that they do the right thing for their loved one, but then because their loved one said, don't ever put me in a home years ago, they live with this guilt because that is a no-win situation for any family, because no one person can care for somebody that needs 24-hour care. It doesn't add up. So you're in this no-win situation, and I don't think any parent would want their adult child or their spouse to go through that.
Yeah, I would hope that, you know, parents who, you know, have any consideration of their children would have an understanding of that. Sometimes it's not true, but, you know, I think speaking those words does alleviate a lot of the guilt that children feel. And absolutely. So I do appreciate my client who did write that such a beautiful letter to her children. Her children shared it with me afterwards. And in it, she said, please don't feel guilty. I would ask that you find me a room with a view of a garden, which I just thought that was so fabulous. Cause she's like, because I just love looking at the greenery. So if you could find me a view of a garden and visit me, then I will be content. And I think
now I'm getting teary eyed here. Yeah,
and I think that was just such a blessing that she gave her children.
Yes.
And I know we aren't all in that similar situation, but I just think that creating your legal documents, it's not just your legal documents. Legal documents really aren't about money per se. They are to some extent, but there's so much more about family and your legacy and the care that you might receive and the gifts that you give your children. It's the gift of being organized, the gift of planning ahead, the gift of making things easier on them. And those are the most important parts of creating an estate plan. It's not just putting your name on a piece of paper. It is just giving that gift to your children, your spouse, or your loved ones.
Well, it is truly the definition of empowerment. When you hand over the ability for that person to make decisions of clear conscience and clear intention. And I think that's what everybody wants to be on that individual that does that. It's, you know, when you give something with hooks, you know, that isn't a good feeling, but to know that you believe in someone. So when going back to, if you're a senior or I don't care if you're 45, you need to have a power of attorney document. And that power of attorney needs to be a person that you can feel like you can empower and knows that they love you and can advocate for you. Even if, you know, for example, my mother, she was all about comfort. I don't care about anything else. I want to stay in my wheelchair because I'm afraid I'm going to fall. And so I'm just going to hang on to what's comfortable and what I know, right? And me, I was like constantly pushing her, Mom, you need to walk. You need to do. I finally realized I had a nurse came up to me and said, Suzanne, your mom doesn't care about getting better. She's in palliative care. She wants to be comfortable. You need to honor that. And I was so appreciative of what that nurse told me. It was like, wow, my goal was different than hers, right? Yeah. But then once I realized that, Andrea, I was able to say, okay, Mom would want to be comfortable.
And that's so great that you had that epiphany while you had the opportunity to change it, you know, to say, you know, got to take a step back from what, as a society, we think people should be doing. You should be trying to be healthier. You should be trying to walk. You should be fighting. And the reality is sometimes when people age, you just want them to be comfortable. You want them to be happy at the end of their lives. And putting in place a plan that supports that wish is just so important.
Yeah. I am so glad we're having this conversation. Again, we are speaking with Andrea Lee, who is an elder law and estate planning attorney with Legacy Estate Planning in Bellevue. And Andrea and I will be back right after this.
We at Answers for Elders thank you for listening. Did you know that you can discover hundreds of podcasts in our library on senior care? So visit our website and discover our decision guides that will help you also navigate decision making. Find us at answersforelders.com.